Well, this last Friday night, we had four of our five grandkids at our house, okay? They all spent the night. It was crazy. But one of the things that happened that was so much fun, and this happens every time we sit down at the meal, we all sit down at the table and we're all at the same table, and then I ask the question, okay, who wants to pray? All four of them raise their hands. I do, Bob, I want to pray. And sometimes we break out in a little argument over who's going to pray. And usually at every meal, all four of them pray. But here's what I want you to know. No one ever told them what to say. Now, we may have had a time where we said, okay, you fold your hands and you bow your heads and you close your eyes, but no one told them what to say. Their prayers go all over the place, from mommy and daddy to Bob, to H, to Teddy, to all of their stuffed animals. We pray for everything. But you know what's even more funny is what I love is when I look at them, they've got these creases on their foreheads as they're so intense because they believe they have to fight through what's holding them back to get their prayers to heaven. And they believe that God's going to answer them. But I want to come back to you and I want to tell you, but no one ever had to tell them what to say. So here's my question for you. When did prayer change? When did prayer change? Or maybe what I should say is, when did we change? You know, they say that you can tell the spiritual maturity of a man by listening to his prayers. And I agree with that because I believe that, you know what? You can find out how big a man is when he gets down on his knees and he opens up his heart and demonstrates his need for God. I want you to know, I believe in prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. And you know what? Sometimes my prayer are one-sentence prayers. Lord, help me as I go into this meeting. Lord, help me to keep my mouth shut. Lord, give me wisdom as I get into this meeting. Sometimes I have long dialogues with God, and sometimes I shut my mouth and I listen. But then there are those prayers that I'm praying all through the day, and it's just that one-word prayer. It's that prayer of that name that is above all names. It's the name that every knee will bow, and the name is Jesus. Because every time I mention his name, I invite him into my situation. And here's what I always want you to remember. As long as I have the power of prayer, I believe I'm only one sentence away from a miracle. Is there anybody in here today that needs a miracle? Is there anybody in here today that's been praying something for 20 or 30 years and you're still waiting for the answer? I want you to know that in these next few weeks, you're going to hear from God. I love it when people come and they ask me to pray for them. And the reason that I love that is because, you see, when we pray, Satan has to stand on the sideline. You realize that? Satan is that one thing that he can't be involved in. That's why Satan brings up so much stuff in our life to keep us from praying, because Satan knows the power of prayer. And if Satan knows the power of prayer, that ought to give us all the more reason that we need to spend time praying with God all through the day. You see, I believe that man is at his greatest when he is on his knees. Look at what this quote says. Man is at his greatest and highest when on his knees he comes face to face with God. And that's what we're going to do in the next few weeks. We're going to come on our knees, and we are going to come face to face with God. And I want you to know that the creator of the universe, who created everything is inviting you and I to come into the throne room. And so let's do that, shall we? Let's walk into the throne room of our Heavenly Father and let's listen to what He has to say. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. And I'm just going to read one verse from the Gospel of John. It's John chapter 15, verse 7. Listen to these words. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. I want to say that one more time. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in me, in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. That's God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, my prayer is very simple this morning. It's just simply this. Lord, teach me how to pray. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Did you just hear what God's word said? I mean, really, did you hear what it said? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask for whatever you want. And I'll give it to you. So I don't know about you, but I started thinking as I read that in first service, I started thinking about some things that I want. What do you want? What would you do if Jesus came to you and said, hey, Austin, what do you want? What would you do if Jesus came to you and said, so what's been on your heart that you would want to ask? You know what I would do? I would ask for something really, really big. There was a little boy one time, and he was granted three wishes. You know what his first wish was? I want 10 other wishes. Now, that's praying big, right? But here's what I want to ask you. Do you ever wonder if there's a right way or a wrong way to pray? Do you ever feel like maybe your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling? Do you ever ask the question, you know what, if God is almighty and he knows everything, then tell me something, why do I even have to pray? Or for that matter, the creator of the universe, and he wants to talk to me, he wants to hear from me, go on. That's what I want to talk about in the next few weeks, but I want to begin by something very simple this morning that you have got to understand before we go forward. Now, in John 14 through 16, in these three chapters, I want you to know that Jesus is with his disciples, and he is no longer meeting in the public crowds. And the reason is because he's really trying to teach his disciples some very important last-minute instructions. You see, the first thing he said to them was this, hey, guys, I'm about to take off for a while. I'm going to my Father's house. But while I'm there, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going there, I'm going to come back so that you can be where I am. Oh, and by the way, remember, you know how to get there. And Thomas says, no, we don't. And he goes, yeah, you do, Thomas. And he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. But one of the things I notice is that if you read through these three chapters, prayer is mentioned seven times. Seven times Jesus mentions prayer. Prayer to his disciples. And you know what? There's a lot about that number seven, but what I want to do right now is I want to go to those chapters in John and I want to find out what was the first prayer that was prayed that Jesus talks about. Look at what it says here. This is Jesus talking. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. Now I want to just stop there for a second to make sure you understand this. Jesus said from his own mouth that we will do greater works than what he just did. Okay, now, if I'm one of the disciples, I'm sitting there thinking, dude, he raised people from the dead. He calmed nature. I saw him heal people where their limbs were getting ready to fall off. And he's telling me that I'm going to do greater things than this? Hey, I'm all ears. Now watch what happens. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Man, I've got all kinds of things I want to ask him for. But here's what I want you to understand. The Bible tells us in the words of Jesus that all of us here, every individual in this room, can do something greater than what Jesus did when he walked on the earth. And I want to explain that to you so you understand what the Bible is teaching here. When Jesus walked on the earth, his miracles were limited. His power was limited to the area where he was present. I want to say that again. Jesus' miracles that he did, he was limited to the area in which he was present. Not because he didn't have the power, but because that was God's will. In other words, Jesus did miracles, did amazing miracles, but they only impacted the places where he was near. So this is what Jesus is saying to us now. Now that I've gone to the Father, and through prayer and the power of prayer, God's gonna use you to blow the lid off things. That's what he's saying. God has said to us through his Son, he's saying, I'm gonna do some things through you that's gonna be greater than even what Jesus did. And prayer is my choice, my weapon that I'm gonna do it through. Now you think about that for a moment. You know, I got a buddy of mine that's in Maryland. They may be watching right now. They've started a small group there. He had cancer. We played basketball together. You know the story. And we started praying for him. And you know what happened? All these prayers all over the country as they're praying for him way out in Maryland, guess what happened? His cancer goes into remission. Oh, come on, Pastor Bob. You think you had something to do with it? You better believe I do. That's the power of prayer. If you need a miracle, prayer's the way you're going to get it. If you need to be encouraged, prayer is the way you're going to get it. If you're hurting, if you're sick, prayer is the way you're going to get what you want. How do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. So as a church, what are we praying these wimpy prayers about? Lord, help my hangnail. You know what we should be praying? Father, how can this church bring millions to you all over the world? Millions? Boy, that's kind of big of yourself. You bet it is. Because we want to learn to pray so big that God has to show up. Because if he doesn't, it's not going to happen. That's how God wants us to pray. All right, so if that's the way, then let's look at this. Prayer is talking and listening to God. That's all it is. So when I pray, it's me talking to God and God talking to me. Even this morning, as I'm praying and all of you are listening, guess what? It's still just me talking to God and God talking to me. As you're listening, God is speaking to you and you are speaking to me or to him. You may just be using some of my words. But prayer is always one heart connected to God and God connected to that one heart. Think about that. The creator of the universe connected to your heart. And you want to ask him to do something small? Well, let's take a moment and let's listen to the very first prayer recorded in Scripture. Okay? I asked our life group the other night if they knew the first group or the first prayer that was prayed, and they kind of fumbled around, and then somebody kind of came up with the answer, so I'm going to reveal it now. Here it is. It's in the book of Genesis. Look at this. When the cool of the evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" That's the first prayer in the Bible. That's the first time that we see a dialogue between God and his people. This is a conversation that took place between the Lord God Almighty and Adam and Eve. Now, I want you to understand and think about this, that the world was very small back in those days. There were only two people in their God. It was Adam and Eve. Eve had Adam's undivided attention all the time. Now, the Bible tells us here that there was a habit that God had with Adam and Eve. Remember what it was? Every day, Adam and Eve would have a conversation with God. And the Bible even tells it when it happens. It says, in the cool of the day, God would come walking in the garden, and Adam and Eve and God, the Lord God, would have a conversation. Can you imagine that? Every day. Here comes the Lord, and they run to him, and they have a walk, and they talk about everything in the world. Now, here's something I find interesting about this passage. And what's interesting is this. All of this occurs after the fall. The first prayer recorded, ladies and gentlemen, is after the fall. And so what I want to ask you is this. What was it that cued Adam and Eve that God was in the garden? Remember? It was the sound of his footsteps. But there's a problem on this day, because every day up to this point, they've been running to meet God. And now the Bible tells us that they're hiding. Why are they hiding? What are they afraid of? What changed in the relationship? Now, here's what I want to point out to you that is so critical for you to understand as you begin this journey about prayer. It was God, after the fall, who came to the garden. And it was God who called to Adam and Eve after the fall. You know what that means? That means that it is God's idea that prayer is all about him. It was God who knew that there was something different, but what did he do? He continued to come to the garden because he wanted to be with his kids. And nothing, not even sin, the disobedience of sin, could keep God from coming to the garden and pursuing his children. Look at this. Prayer began with the Lord. You know how great news that is? Prayer began with God. It's not about me. It's about God who comes after you and I. Here's our part. When you hear God walking in the garden of your heart, you need to run to him. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what that feels like when you're going through life and there's something in your heart that is prompting you to bring your attention to him. That's God working in your heart. I remember a while back, Nicole and Dan were having a conversation. And I remember that the conversation ended up something like this, where Dan asked Nicole, does Dad call you every day? I remember when I heard that and I thought, maybe I need to back off a little bit. I know maybe the kids are growing up and they're adults, but then I got to tell you something. But then something else crossed my mind. They're my kids. And you know what? I want to hear from them every day. And you know what I want to hear? I want to hear the joys of their life. I want to hear all those times that they failed. I want to hear about their fears. I want to know when they're having a good day. I want to know when they're having a bad day. I want to know sometimes just so that I can hear their voice. I love that commercial of the hearing aid. When the guy says to Dad, I love you. And the dad goes, what? He goes, I said, I love you. He goes, oh, I know, I heard you. I just want to hear it again. But isn't that the truth? They're my kids. I care about what happens to them. And so this is what I want you to understand about your God. Your God comes to you in your heart because he cares about you. He wants to hear everything about you. He wants to know the good days. He wants to know the bad days. He wants to know when you're hurting. He wants to know when you're mad at him. He wants to see you shake your fist at him. He wants to know about the good that's happening in your life. Why is that, Pastor Bob? Because prayer is a conversation between a dad and his kids. That's what it is. It's a daughter and her father. It's a son and his dad. It's a conversation between God and his children. So God is walking in the garden in now what is a sin-filled world. And the Bible tells us that he calls out to Adam. He's never had to call out to Adam before, but now that sin is in the world, there's a separation. The separation was caused by sin. There are times in our lives that we feel separated from God because of our sin. Anybody relate? You know what that feels like, don't you? You've done something wrong, made a mistake, you screwed up, you did something stupid, and you know that you know you need to go back to God and you need to own it. But then comes that voice. I told you you're an idiot. I told you you're going to screw up. This is not the first time you've done this. You've done this over and over and over and over again. You really think God wants to hear from you? Come on. Look at everything that you've done. God could never use a person like you. So why even waste your time going into his presence? So if you're going to go into his presence, here's what you need to do. You need to do a bunch of good things until you feel good, and then you can walk into his presence, and then just maybe he'll listen to you. Anybody else have those conversations? Because I'm going to tell you, I sure do. Satan wants to keep us away from him. Now listen, here's the good news. Don't miss this. God assumes the responsibility to change that. Man, if I could do a handstand right now, I would. Do you understand what that means? God takes responsibility to bring you back. It's not your responsibility. It's not my responsibility. God says it's his responsibility to go after his kids. Now, I don't know about you, that makes me feel loved and wanted, that the hound of heaven is coming after me. Now, let's just kind of close this off by talking about how he did it with Adam and Eve. He simply asked them three questions. Now, I don't know about you, when I was in school, when I went to the teacher and asked a question, all I wanted was the answer. The last thing I wanted to hear was, well, what do you think? Well, let's work this out together. I don't want to work it out together. That's why I came to you. Just give me the answer. But God asked Adam and Eve a question because he wants them to see the answer. Remember what the first question was? Where are you? Here's the first one. Where are you? Now, to help you understand this, this is now this sin-filled world, and God now has to come, and for the very first time, he has to look for Adam and Eve. Do you really think he had to look? You know what I love to do? I'm sorry, Nicole. One of the things I love to do is when I know that the kids have done wrong, and they know I know they've done wrong, it's sometimes fun just to kind of let them wallow around in it a little bit. Isn't it? Have you ever done that before? Oh, I guess we're the only ones, dear. But you know what? Sometimes it's good that they think about it a little bit, isn't it? And so here comes God, and he's walking in the garden, and can't you just hear him? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? And he's just kind of like this, and Adam and Eve are behind some bushes thinking, do you think he sees us? You know what? Sometimes when my wife gets lost, she'll call me and she'll say, I think I'm lost. I need some directions. What do you think is the first thing I ask her? Where are you? That's right. I think that's a question that we need to ask ourselves sometimes. I think we need to ask the question, so where are we? Are we separated from God right now? Are we running from Him? Are we not living according to how He's called us to live? Or are we walking with Him hand in hand? Are we partnering with Him and accomplishing great things in the world simply because we know where we are? But where are you? Well, let's look at Adam's response. He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Now, here's what I want you to understand about Adam and Eve. They are now experiencing something they have never experienced before. You know what it is? Fear. Hey, guys, do you remember the first time when you were afraid? That's not a very fun feeling, is it? It's not very fun when a man feels fear. We're supposed to be strong. We're not supposed to be afraid of anything. We're not afraid of any boogie monster underneath our bed. But that feeling of fear is a very uncomfortable feeling. Here's the second question. Who told you that you were naked? I want you to understand something, is that Adam and Eve did not know that they were naked. And all of a sudden, they find out they're naked. And here's what I want you to understand about this, and don't miss this point. God asks them the question about, did you notice who told you you were naked? You see, God is asking them this question because up until this point, guys, there has only been one conversation, and it's been between God and Adam and Eve. No one else has spoken into this relationship. And now God is saying, who have you been talking to? I thought it was just us. So who have you now been talking to? And I think what I believe that God wants us to hear from this for Adam and Eve is was this. From now on, you're going to have a lot of people who are going to be speaking into your life. And you obviously need to learn how to discriminate between what is good and what is not good. And you guys, that's what Satan has been using since the garden, to fill our minds with voices so we can't hear the voice of God. And so that message that God gave to Adam and Eve, He gives to us. Be careful who you're listening to. Because there are many voices who are going to try and keep you from hearing my voice. Here's the last one. What is this you have done? You know what? I love about this that Adam handled it like a man. He blamed his wife. Didn't he? He did, didn't he? He goes, well, God, I mean, that woman that you gave me, remember? And then you know what Eve does? What a great follower. She follows suit and she blames the neighborhood. Well, remember that serpent that you made, God? Here's what I want you to understand. What were Adam and Eve saying? They were saying, we blame you, God. How many times in our lives when we've walked away from God and through our actions that we justify everything, but when you justify it, you know what you're doing? You're blaming God. But here's the good news that happened. And this is what we're going to close with. After Adam blamed Eve, he said three words that changed everything. You know what those three words were? They were the three words that God wanted to hear. They were the three words that broke God's heart. And these were the three words. And I ate. Adam admitted to his God, after he had blamed and justified, I did it. And what did Eve do? After she blamed the serpent in the neighborhood, she said those same three words, and I ate. Now, I got to believe that at that point in time, that God had a little bit of a smile on his face. You know why? It's because of what happened next. And what happened next? The plan of salvation kicked into play. At that point, through love, God brought about the punishment, didn't he? But in the punishment was a Savior. And his name is Jesus. And it all came about because a man and a woman had a conversation with their God. But it was this God that came into the garden that went after them. And so here's what I want you to know. The whole world changed. The plan of salvation was put in motion simply because of a prayer. A prayer between a dad and his son and a father and his daughter. And because of that, we have hope.